I got a little change in my pocket going.
Hey, you know what? I got a little change in my pocket today. Spent. I don't do it very often, but laid down a couple of bucks on Dustin Poirier at UFC 299 on Saturday night. Cashed out pretty nice.
Cash money!
I was looking all week at a terrible line. Had him as the underdog, and it was pretty... they had him a pretty sizable dog, and I was kind of like, I should get in on that. And it kind of kept creeping closer and closer to even. I went, fuck it, I don't care that much. I woke up Saturday morning... And it had dropped again. He was a much bigger dog. And I was like, fuck it. I threw down $20 and not bad.
That guy's a fighter.
He is a fighter. And he was facing a guy on the come in another Benoit Saint-Denis.
Benoit Saint-Denis.
That's about right, yeah.
Yeah.
Former member of the...
French
military, anyway.
Elite forces, or whatever they call it. Yeah.
And he... I'll be honest, through most of the first round, he was making me feel like I'd probably spent my money poorly.
That's $20 that Matt could have back.
Right. Now, luckily, I didn't pay for the pay-per-view, so it actually was a bargain. But he's kind of pushing Poirier to the crown, and he's out-muscling him a little bit, and you can just see Poirier's breathing really heavy, and you're like, you know, he's getting up there a bit. Maybe this isn't going to be his night.
He's on a losing streak.
And in the second round, he comes out, he's kind of getting muscled around again, and then he just lands a couple of quick shots, takes him right out, and suddenly standing there once again, you know, back in the winner's circle, back relevant, and it pushes Saint-Denis back down a couple of spots before he's, like, that's sort of a gatekeeper fight, right? Like, yeah, are you ready for a title shot or not?
That's a Donald Cerrone type of fight.
Right, and so, yeah, I woke up feeling pretty good about that. I will say, I'm pretty pissed at the UFC for having a card on fucking leap forward night, daylight savings night.
Matt's missing an hour.
Seriously missing it, man. I'm sitting there at 12:45 waiting for the co-main to get in the octagon. Going, oh my God, it's 1:45. What are we doing here? Like,
no, Matt, anybody who travels, like as somebody who spent a pile of time in the UK and you're looking at dollars, Canadian dollars to... British pounds.
Yeah.
Once you're there, you never think about it. You go, hey, I'm going to pay £3 for that pint. Wait, that's...
Well, even like you said, when you travel out of the time, just forget the old one. Don't even think about what time it is at home.
Where am I right now?
Yeah, this is what time it is.
This is what we're doing.
I'm telling you what time it is.
Would I spend three...
You know what time it is.
It's ass for weeks and dick for days.
That's the second time.
I know. That's why I brought it back.
And it's a bald-faced lie. half of it's true.
You may have asked for weeks. That's dick for minutes. It comes down to, yeah, where are you now? And is that pint worth £3? Hell yeah, it's worth £3.
Yeah.
And I'll buy yours too, man, if you buy the next round.
Right. So it was only an okay card. The Sean O'Malley, it was a deep card, but... Not a lot of star power other than him. Like, he's the big name, and they wanted to see if he could sell as a main eventer. And it did. It actually did $14 million at the gate, one of the top five highest-selling UFC cards in the United States ever. And it was a clinic. He picked Chito Vera apart. Five straight rounds, just pecking away. He wasn't able to knock him out, but just Chito never got close to him.
It
just
was a 50-45 across the board.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Won every round. And it wasn't particularly close. I did want to. I know you didn't.
And he was split up early. I know. I saw a lot of the highlights.
I was going to ask you about Friday, which I know you didn't see.
But just to finish.
Yeah.
So you were going to double back to the Ngannou. But to finish that, in terms of fighting, if you look at Poirier, and you go, that's the fight game, right? I just got to be resilient and tough, and that's what it comes down to. And when you look at that title fight with O'Malley, and it just, when you get cut up and you're bleeding early,
yeah,
like those couple of knees to the face early,
yeah, it'll hurt you.
Wow. and the bleeding, right? When you see blood, it's a long way to come back from that. And so,
yeah, it starts to fuck with your head too, and it's clear to you the judges aren't going to see it your way, and it's
right,
it's a tough go.
And as somebody who is more invested in it, you being over me, that is, so Vera was the only person to defeat O'Malley, right? Yep. Coming into this.
Yeah.
Do you see any reason after that lopsided win to go with the trilogy fight? Do you see any reason?
Not immediately, no, because they're just different fights. Like, he beat up O'Malley on the way up, right? O'Malley was a new guy. He hadn't yet established himself. Over the last couple of fights, O'Malley has set himself up as a big name, as a talented guy. He's won the title. His first title to fight is dominant, or his title defense is dominant. Yeah, they'll move on to something else. And Cheeto, you could do a trilogy fight, but not immediately. There's no reason to do it now. He's going to have to go and win a couple of fights to get another crack at it. And they may end up doing that. On Friday, though, we saw Francis Ngannou, another Saudi Arabian funded excursion. He's fighting Anthony Joshua, well known as probably the second best heavyweight in the boxing world. And this comes 5 months after Ngannou boxed Tyson Fury. And a lot of people said at worst it was a draw for Ngannou. But it's an exhibition fight. Fury's the world champ.
How much am I putting into this?
Right. And you know, we don't want to hurt his win-loss record because he's our guy. And this, you know, Francis Ngannou, fuck him. Who cares? But he did knock him down a couple, or like Ngannou knocked Fury down and did box pretty well with him. But
dude can punch.
And Tyson Fury showed up looking like he'd already maybe eaten Tyson Fury. He's a big dude and showed up very big for that fight. And it was sort of clear he hadn't properly prepared. He didn't take Francis Ngannou seriously. And, you know, this guy's an MMA guy. I'll be fine.
Wait, that guy can punch.
And it turns out he can punch. So Ngannou gets another fight based on that performance. This one's going to count. It's not an exhibition. Winner is probably going to be next in line for an actual boxing heavyweight fight, title fight. I'm getting all ahead of myself here, man. I'm still fired up from my
Heedle fight.
Joel Edmondson talk.
Oh, man, the Leafs are so much better.
Yeah, yeah, yep, yep, yep. Anthony Joshua watches what happens between Ngannou and Fury and goes, I'm not going to dick around because I don't want to be embarrassed by this guy who shouldn't have any business, you know, in my league. And he prepares. He takes him seriously. He shows him respect. And in round one, he knocks Francis Ngannou down right away. And this is coming maybe 3 minutes into the first round. And early on, Anthony Joshua lands a quick combination on Ngannou. And you're sort of like, well, it's nothing, but it's something. He's picked a spot here pretty quick. But right afterwards, Ngannou lands a really nice, like, looping left. And you're kind of like, all right, like, here we go. Maybe this is going to be kind of even. And immediately on the heels of that, Joshua lands a combination and drops Ngannou. And even in the UFC, and it's a different quality of boxing or whatever, he had a big chin, Ngannou did. Like, he didn't get pushed around. He didn't get knocked down. When he was getting up from that knockdown, he looked like he'd seen a ghost. Like, holy fuck, what was that that just put me on my ass? After that, Joshua lands a couple more shots in the first round. They go to their corners in round two. Almost immediately, Joshua drops him again, and then Ngannou gets up a little bit slower. There's maybe another 45 seconds or 1 minute, and Joshua knocks him out. It was as
clinical,
as professional as anything you're ever going to see. One guy who's done this for his entire life, and one guy who's, I don't want to say wandered in off the street. Ngannou's an accomplished fighter, but there are levels to this shit, right? And you could tell he was not on Joshua's level. And they actually flash to Tyson Fury in the crowd. And he's got this look on his face that you could read one of two ways. Because it looks not nervous, but like, what the fuck? And is it, oh my God, Joshua is my next opponent and that guy's scaring the shit out of me right now? Or how come that guy dummied Ngannou so easily and I had to go the distance? And you know, either way, it wasn't a good look on his face. And so it leaves Francis Ngannou in an odd situation now. He's making $20 million a fight over there with Fury and with Joshua. He's got a contract now with the PFL, which, for people who aren't familiar, they've just bought Bellator. They're sort of the second league in the MMA world. They've been very forgiving to him, or very understanding. Yeah, go do the boxing thing. It'll be good for us when you come back here with the bigger name and the reputation.
And
so they're probably sort of done now. with being patient, especially since he's lost, right? Maybe there's nothing more to be gained over there. But on Ngannou's side, well, if Deontay Wilder wants to fight me next, even if it's for $12 million instead of 20, you know, it's going to be $600,000 fighting for PFL. And all his coaches, all his trainers will also be, because they get a piece of his fight purse. Yeah, then why don't we stay here? Why don't we do the boxing thing? This is going to be a tough sell for him, man, on what do you do next?
Well, it's a win for boxing.
100%. And that's always been a bit of a...
Which has been...
They look down their nose on the MMA thing.
Well, and it's been this... Well, the reality is MMA is way better than boxing.
Yep.
Because it is the complete sort of combat or martial arts. But when it comes to striking, pure striking, heavier gloves, and you go, that is the sweet science, right? The idea of your brawler, which whatever it is, I am going to strike to get you to the ground or I am going to strike to set something else up. When I don't have the option to take you to the ground or to choke you.
Right. I'm rattled. Can I take the leg and take you down? And
nothing. Right. I can hug you.
Right.
But the ref is going to break that up.
Yep.
And so when it is strictly one of those things and you go, no, we're stripping away everything else and we're forcing you to do this one thing, right? You go, okay, I'm a wrestler. You're a jiu-jitsu guy. I'm going to use my strength to hopefully neutralize your strength.
Yeah.
In boxing, guess what? We're all in here on striking. And
most realistic boxing fans understand if Anthony Joshua gets in the octagon with Francis Ngannou, he's going down fast, getting choked out, and it's over, right? Yeah. So we're talking about two different sports, and one's walked into the other's world. And
but you are talking about this guy, Ngannou, who feels like he is elite.
Yeah, and he punches hard. But
and this is what he does.
Yeah.
And you go, all right, we're going to wade into this. So those few holdovers, and they are few, and shrinking, right? They are the purists, the boxing as the sport. Look at it and go, all right, see
what happens. Walked in and you got dummied. And he did.
And you got smashed.
Yeah.
You got taken apart.
Now let me ask you this, because I know you've watched enough MMA and we've all seen a little bit of boxing. I by no means consider myself a boxing
I've seen a lot of boxing in my life too.
So doesn't count outside Canadian Tire on Saturday night in Peterborough, but
that's not boxing. No. That's not boxing. That's way closer. That's way closer to the forerunner of UFC. UFC 1 under a tent.
Yeah.
In Florida, that is much more closer to Peterborough than.
If you're Francis Ngannou, would you have felt better or worse if this had gone 12 rounds, but you lost every one of them? Like you were clearly being just picked apart, similar, worse. But if you think of the Mayweather McGregor thing, where McGregor never touched him, and Mayweather kind of played with his food and showed he was the superior guy,
swam out into the deep water,
right?
And
so
held him up.
If you're Ngannou, you might be able to talk yourself into walking away against the. You know, it's round two. He kind of landed one really good one, and that fucked me for the rest of the night or for the rest of that fight. Where you could talk yourself into fluke is too strong. But it just wasn't my night. Whereas
puncher's chance.
Right. 12 rounds, this guy just dummying me and playing with me. I'm clearly not in this class. Do you think there's anything to that?
Well, first of all, Ngannou, in terms of I want to make money on this.
Yeah.
I am going to fight. If I'm going to fight for a living, I want to make max cash.
Yeah.
I don't blame the guy. It now is at a spot where you go, the Wilder fight, and you go, where do I go with this?
Right.
Do I take 10, 12 million bucks for that? And do I want to continue to apply my trade? Right. Or do I slip down to go, I'm just another boxer who went into MMA.
I'm still
MMA,
the unbeaten
or do
UFC
I go to
champ,
MMA into box, where that crossover and you go, yeah, it's not just a spectacle. I want to do this.
Like if he takes that 12 million to go do Deontay Wilder and gets crushed again, you're done. You're done boxing. You're a joke, right? Everyone just understands the Tyson Fury thing was a...
If that goes to a decision, though, if he fights his way and he's learned, like, let's look at it as the Rempe Olivier to the Rempe Reeves fight. Where you go, I've shown a little something. I can now defend myself. it's Ngannou has to show something in the Wilder fight.
Yeah.
He has to show that he's...
To me, the question is that $12 million versus my reputation. Like, there was a lot of people right away who immediately, and some of them are just the boxing people who didn't want to give him any credit, that said, it's all about Tyson Fury in that first fight, didn't take him seriously. If he'd have prepared properly, he'd have dummied Ngannou too. Well, he didn't. So, In theory right now, he's 1-1, right? He's still 0-2, but like one of them was a respectable fight. One of them you got dominated by,
clearly. He's 1-1 in the deep end of the pool, though.
Yeah, in terms of showing something, right? In terms of a respected... So if he
hasn't fought any tomato cans.
No. And so Deontay Wilder is a step down, but not a big one, right? He's not far beneath these other two guys. And so I'll take the $12 million now because it sets me up for life, but knowing that if I lose, I'm probably done in this world... And there's the shine has probably, I go back to MMA with my tail between my legs. I wonder if you don't go back to PFL, beat one or two guys, and then come back and do the Wilder thing. The counter argument would be the boxing world's infatuated with you right now. Take the money while you can.
Yeah, no, I'm absolutely in terms of, yeah, I'm taking the money.
Yeah.
If they're going to pay me $12 million to fight.
Yeah, and even if PFL doesn't want me after that, fuck it, I just made $32 million in the last 6 months.
That's 24 fights. I've fought 24 fights worth of PFL.
MMA, yeah, yeah.
In one fight here.
Yeah.
So I take that, and it's okay. He just needs to, if you look at what he is in terms of fighting a gatekeeper, and we talked about that term.
Yep.
If you go down five or six guys and go, I'm going to fight the sixth ranked heavyweight.
Right.
And see where I stand there. Right. And you go, yeah, it's going to go the distance. Maybe I lose in a decision.
But that's probably a $2 million fight.
Okay. Oh, all I'm saying is, do you want to continue to make money? Do you want to continue to? No, I don't blame the guy for taking the $12 million now.
I'll probably take it too. Yeah.
I'll get on the Tyson card and I'll fight. I'll fight Rob Ray. Doubling down on that.
Jake Paul's grandma.
I'll get onto the undercard of Jake Paul and Mike Tyson, and I'll fight Rob Ray. How about that?
I think that's what and you know what? If it goes poorly against Deontay Wilder and I get embarrassed again, I take my $12 million from that night and I go home. I have a happy life and I'm probably done competing.
Well, I've made $52 million bucks in boxing and I can just walk away.
Yep. See ya. Dana White would have had to employ me for 100 years to pay me that.
Now I go back and I live on the tax-free Dana White money and I got the 52 in the bank and I'll fight in PFL. I'll make my way around and slide back over for a big pay-per-view.
I find the question interesting. Yeah. What do you do next? What's best for his reputation? What's best for his pocketbook? What's best for his career?
Cash the checks, baby.
I think so.
If you're going to take face punches to the face.
Yeah. And he took some, man. Like, you could tell that guy had never been punched like that before. Like, when he first dropped on that, he's kind of getting up like, what in the fuck just happened to me, right? Like, I've never been dropped like that. And when he did get knocked out, he stayed down. And they got the oxygen mask on him afterwards. Like, it was a violent knockout. But so that was the one in the first round.
Have you ever been knocked out?
No, never been knocked out cold.
Have you ever been knocked down, like in a flash knockdown?
Yeah.
It is, whoa.
It's disorienting.
Yeah, and when you fight people who have any kind of skill or it's completely different, right?
Right.
The guy who, I'm going to swing with the big, and you said it yourself, Ngannou landed a big looping.
Yep.
Versus the from
quick
the shoulder,
jab, wham.
Wham, right to the side of the chin. You're like, bam, I'm down, or above the ear.
Yep.
So there is a huge difference in terms of.
Well, it was interesting watching Joshua when he knocks him down in the first round. He didn't immediately run back in. He's confident enough to know I'll have chances. Like he showed patience. He's done this a long time. I don't have to finish him right this second.
I've seen big punches before.
Right. And so he kind of lets him get back up and they kind of re-engage. And like I said, it was that first one where you can see Ngannou getting up and just having no idea that that was even possible, that someone could do that to him. The one where he's getting up, like cause I said, he got knocked down early in the second one before being knocked out. That time, you could tell when he was getting up, he's he's not surprised that it happened. He's kind of not all there, right? Like, he's sort of getting up again because that's his instinct, but he's in trouble. And that time, Joshua does close in
and finish him off.
Yeah. So it was an interesting thing to watch. I appreciate Bunda sending me a link because I'm not paying for
Magic Man. I've never met him face to face.
He's a good dude.
I was just going to say, I hear him on the radio, I hear him here on the pod.
Yeah.
He just sounds like a good dude.
For sure.
That's it. I cannot work under these conditions. If anybody wants me, I'll be downstairs at McDougal's. Call the weekend guy. I don't care.